when the night is holding on to me, my God is holding on. When the night is holding on to me, my God is holding on.
Overwhelming, never.
shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, high you won't tear down, coming after me.
Help me sing it.
There's no shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. No more you want.
I don't think you really are aware of what you're singing. You just sang these words, "Hallelujah, our God reigns." How many of you believe that this morning? Come on. Hallelujah, our God reigns. I'm not worried about tomorrow. I'm not worried about today. Amen. Why? Because my God reigns. Amen. I want to turn your attention to the Word of God for just a moment. Reading this morning in 1 Peter chapter 5. Here's the embodiment of why we don't have to worry. You know, Jesus told us not to worry. He said, you know, don't take all these thoughts and bring them upon yourself. And how many of you know we live in a world today that's very focused on anxiety? In fact, there are people in this room. You say, well, how do you know that? Because I know it's that we're dealing with people. There are people in this room that you could pull out of your purse right now something that you take because the doctor said you really need this. Hey, don't raise your hand. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. But I don't need those kinds of things, okay? Why? Because seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You don't need to be on a long list of pills to help you with your emotions. Here's what you do. 1 Peter chapter 5. He says, humble yourself, verse 6, under God's mighty hand. That he may do what? That he may lift you up. That means if he had to lift you up, where were you? You were down, okay? If he had to lift you up, you were in a place that you were considered downtrodden. Verse number 7, I love this verse. Cast all your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. You know, I studied that one time, and you know, it takes me back to the days of playing in the backyard in my house, where my dad had a little old dirt pile back there, and we had trucks. How many of you remember Tonka days? Come on, somebody. We had trucks, and you know what we would do? We would fill those trucks up, and then we made the motor noise, and we would transport this dirt to another location, and then we would hit that lever, you know, and raise that bed up. James, you know what I'm talking about. You've hit that hydraulic so many times. Turn that PTO shaft on. And when you do, you know what happens? Slowly, you know what you do? You cast all your cares on him. That's what the imagery here is that Paul's using. Paul knew this before there was even a Tonka truck. Come on. He said, cast your cares upon me. You know why? Because I care for you. Back up to the dump and hit it, all right? That's why you're here today, to come and worship him in spirit and in truth. That's why you're here today, to come and to release all the stuff that you've bottled up all week long and receive inspiration and encouragement and nurture and healing. Some of you are going to get healed today. Come on. Somebody's going to get healed today. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Our God reigns. Why does he reign? Because he's God. He's the one who created the heavens and the earth and everything in between. And he created you. And guess what? He knows where you are today. God knows where you are today. Can we just sing that one more time? Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Listen, if you're in need of a touch in body, step out of your seat right now. Come on, you don't have to wait until the end of the service. Come on, as we sing this, step out of your seat and just come and stand in his presence for a moment. Step into the healing waters of God's river today. Come on. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Come on, sing it one more time, worship team. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, step out of your seat. Oh, hallelujah. Our God reigns. That's right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Hallelujah. Our God reigns. Forever all my days. Hallelujah. Come on, sing it again. Cast all your cares upon. pray with these that are standing here this morning. Come on. Ministers, just pray for them. Verse again. Let this sink into your spirit today. I'm not going to be overwhelmed.
I won't be overwhelmed.
God, give me vision.
Give me vision.
Give me vision, Lord, to see it like you see it. Come on.
You know just what you're doing, God. I look to you. You where my help comes from.
Hallelujah.
Give me wisdom. Know just what to do, and I will love you, Lord, my strength. And I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock.
Strength, God.
I will love you, Lord, my shield.
You're my shield, God.
I will love you, Lord,
my rock.
Forever, all my days, I will love.
Now sing it, hallelujah. A shout to the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. You reign, O Lord. Come on. You reign, O Lord. You reign, you reign, you reign. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Just bask in his presence for just a moment. Come on, just bask in his presence. Hallelujah. Some of you need this morning. Come on, watching online are people from who knows where. We're blessed to be able to touch the nations right from here this morning. And I pray right now, Lord, for those who are watching on television, watching on the internet. God, I pray that you would minister to them. There are some sitting there right now hearing that word, cast your cares upon the Lord. Because he cares for you. Cast your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. Lord, I pray that as they cast, yes. The Lord says, fear not. Fear not, says the Lord. Do not be afraid. Have faith in me, says the Lord. Have faith in me. Trust me. Cast your cares on me, says the Lord. For I do love you. I do watch over you. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro in the earth, seeking somewhere, some person, some situation in which he can manifest his power. And his glory. turn to me. Do not become entangled with the snares of this life. Do not become entangled with deceptive means of meeting needs. Do not become entangled with these things, says the Lord. For I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. I have the power, says the Lord. I have the power. I am the power, says the Lord, to touch you, to heal you. To touch you, to heal you. I hear the Lord saying that, to touch you, to heal you. Turn to me. And as my word declares, he who comes to me, I will in no wise cast them out. Trust me, says the Lord. Trust me with your whole heart. This is my desire for you. Hallelujah. Come on, receive that word today. Receive that word today. Trust the Lord with all your heart. You know, the word says we're not to do what? To lean on our own understanding. There's too much leaning on our own understanding today. People say all the time, Google that. You know what? Why don't you God that, all right? Why don't you God that? Amen? You know, Pastor Joy and I just returned back from seeing our second grandchild, spent last week on the West Coast. And can I just tell you, Pastor David Metz is here today, and I'm excited about what he's going to bring to our spirit and to our hearing and to this gathering today. And not just here, but through media and whoever's watching online. But I remember him and I having a conversation many years ago talking about the dynamic that whatever happens in here on the East Coast has already happened on the West Coast. I think Pastor Davis said about 10 years ago. You remember when you and I had that conversation? And I know, bear with me for a second, I know that it's frustrating for some of us right now. We're still struggling with this second round of this COVID thing. And you're living in uncertainties. Can I just tell you, if you were with me and Pastor Joy last week, you would say, wow, this is different. You know what? All over Seattle, huge signs are on businesses. October 25th, they've already set the date. Cassandra sent me a text message just about 3 or 4 weeks ago. She said, well, Pop, here it is. And I thought, what is this? You know, and I started reading it. In Washington, the state of Washington have already declared mandatory vaccinations for everyone. So what are you going to do? Well, effective October 25th, that's why they've got it on every door that you pull, October 25th, grocery stores, banks, everywhere. If you are not vaccinated, you will not enter the room. Okay? Mandatory. Okay? Control. And so here's what you can look for. You can look for that phenomenon to sweep across the United States, starting up in the left-hand corner and working from west to east. It will get here. Well, I don't want the vaccine. Well, maybe you don't want groceries. You ever read that before? Anybody ever read something like that before? Sounds familiar, don't it? It sounds like birth pains of Antichrist behavior. I'm going to preach a series for you in the next 3 weeks called Faith for Where We're Going. Okay? Faith for Where We're Going. And can I just tell you, those the faint at heart, those who are struggling, those who are wondering, you know, how in the world are we going to make it? Can I just tell you, if you can't live today and succeed today and thrive today where the grace of God is available for everyone, you'll never make it through the tribulation. Never make it. So you need to get ready now. You need to settle in your heart now. Jesus Christ is Lord. And he's Lord above what? Everything. 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 I've seen this phenomenon for years of West Coast, East Coast. Do you know in the West Coast, if you want to get gas, they've been doing this for 7 or 8 years. How many of you know what it's like to go to the pump and just swipe your card at the pump and pay for your gas and don't have to go inside? Well, on the West Coast, they've changed all that. You don't do that anymore. They have like 25 pumps out there, and you pull up to one, and there's only one spot that you go to, one paying station, and you pay. They've eliminated the other 24 swipe spots. You swipe at one spot and just say, pump number 7, pump number 10, pump number 11. So no need for 24 extra machines. You just need one. And you pay at the one spot and pump at the 25. So they've eliminated. A lot of things are being eliminated. We were talking with Joshua and Cassandra while we were there. Josh said, oh, we haven't been in a grocery store since March of 19. So, we're going to get groceries today. I said, you want me to go with you? He said, Dad, we don't go to a grocery store. They have an Amazon center right down the road. So he texted his grocery list, and about 45 minutes, they came to the door with everything he ordered. We don't go to a grocery store. Everything's changing. But can I tell you, there's something that hasn't changed. And that is what it takes to survive in this world is faith in God. Faith in God. A system. Yeah, there's a system. But you're going to have to trust the Lord. I get this call all the time. I get it every week. I was telling Pastor Dave before the service. A guy very frantic this week called me. I get it every week. At least one, sometimes two and three times. Pastor Wallace, I'm embarrassed to ask you this, but I just, I'm so rung up. I can't sleep at night. He said, I want to know something, man. Just, I'm embarrassed to ask you, but I want to know something. I took the vaccine, right? I said, okay. He said, have I taken the mark of the beast? That's the way people are feeling in this uncertain world. Have I taken the mark of the beast? I said, no, you haven't taken the mark of the beast. Well, how do you know that? How can you assure me? Because we're still here. And the mark of the beast is released when we're not here, okay? So I can guarantee you haven't taken the mark of the beast. Well, why are these crazy feelings? I said, you're watching play before your very eyes. The skit, the birth pains, the beginnings of these things. And so the behavior's already there. The system's already in place. I believe the Antichrist is alive and walking the earth today. I believe that. And you and I have the great joy of casting our cares upon Him. All of our fears, all of our concerns, everything. Just hit the dump. I love the sound when that stuff starts to slide out. And then I used to pull up about 3 or 4 feet and shake the body, okay? Make sure I do what? Make sure I get it all out, okay? That's what you need to do today before you leave this building. You need to make sure that through the course of this service today, you got it all out, okay? Because you're going back to work tomorrow. You're going back into this wicked world. Today you're here to celebrate, to be inspired, to be encouraged, to be renewed in your faith, all right? That's what we're going to do. Father, in Jesus' name, we just exalt you today, God, because you're worthy of praise. Thank you, Lord, that we can put you first, and everything else will take care of itself. We trust you today. Inspire us, encourage us, equip us, nurture us, fire us up, God, to meet a world that's so confused. And let us always, as your word says, be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord today. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. You can save that last song for offering time. It would be great. Thank you so much for your response to Children of the World. I'm told last week that this was just a washout, man. All the boxes are gone. They had to reorder this week. And this is Operation Christmas Child from Samaritan's Purse. You're very familiar with it. And you take time and a little bit of money and just pack this with some precious commodities that will mean the world to that little recipient on the other end. And if you would like to do that, you can turn it in anytime from now until November 1st. We ran out of boxes last week, but we got some more now. And there are three ways you can help. You can build the box yourself. You can build it online. You can donate money, and somebody will fill the box up for you. And that's at SamaritansPurse.org. If we run out of boxes today, Sydney says we'll have more coming. Hopefully they'll be here within just a matter of a few days. So thank you. You guys are so generous with missions. and what you do for the kingdom of God. Some of you may just buy a goat today before it's all over with. I have any idea that some people might buy a goat. Amen. Anybody looking for, come on. Anybody want to buy a goat? We're going to sell some goats today, all right? We're going to believe God to just do amazing things through the course of the service today. If you're a guest today, just kind of wave at me right quick. We're glad to have you. God bless you guys. And after the service, just make your way to the center of the foyer there. We have a free gift for you. We'd like to have a record of your visit. And we hope that today will be inspirational for you and encouraging for you. And so just stop by there and say hello, and we'll give you a free gift. And we look forward to meeting you there. Now's the time that we have to give to the Lord. Amen? Give unto the Lord what is due him. Amen? He said, bring it to the storehouse. Where are you at? You're in the storehouse. Amen? You're in the church. And so you have an opportunity to give. I'd invite you right now just to step up and drop your tithes and your offerings in the buckets. And also, if you want to give online, you can do that. There's so many ways that you can give. You can use the church app. You can give on the website. There's just so many ways you can do that. But thank you for your generosity. You're a giving church, and we thank God for that. Touching the world through missions and so many different ways. Father, we bless today the giving. We bless the giving, God, because we know that when we give to you, Lord, a couple of things happen. We know that you take what we give and you multiply it. You get so much more out of it than what we could. And so you advance your kingdom, but also you rebuke the devourer for our sake. You keep a hedge of protection about us because we've been faithful in tithes and offerings. And God, we thank you for that. Thank you for your provision. Thank you that you're El Shaddai, that you are the one who sheds forth, pours forth your blessings on your people. In Jesus' strong name, amen. Amen. Pastor Mike Blow's coming to the platform. Give him a hand, would you? Praise the Lord.
So I get to introduce a special couple who need no introduction here. You all already know them, most of you. And I'm excited to say that Sister Kim has been traveling internationally with Pastor David, and so she has got her feet wet, and I think she's going to dive in even more. But I would like to tell you a little bit before he comes to speak. You know, I have shared thousands of miles of long car rides with this man. We have endured tens of thousands of miles on the planes together and spent nights in airports and stayed in hotels that the water heater was wood-fired and slept in some strange places and eat some strange things. And I've watched him minister, and I've learned a lot from him. I've learned to appreciate him. He's a man who operates in the gifts, especially in the words of knowledge. But the thing that I admire about him most is that when it comes to the kingdom, this man will never quit. He'll go to the very end. And I really appreciate that about you, Pastor David. Come share with us now. Amen.
Praise God. Love you, man. Love you. Love you, Pastor Mike. I'm sorry to hear you feel like we had to endure. I thought we was having a good time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. It's been interesting, to say the least, some of the things that God has done in recent years as I sit here today and been in this sanctuary so many times. 25 years ago, stood here and Pastor Wallace, you said vows over me and my wife. It stuck. Hallelujah. Praise God. Been able to do a lot of things have changed since then. The pastor talked about the world is changing and we have to learn to adapt, don't we? And sometimes we can, as Christians, we can get in a rut and say, well, God's called me to do this until he tells you to take a left. You know, I was pastoring in Camden County, and a friend of this house, Pastor Kim Norris, invited me to go to Kenya And when I went, God gave me a gift in the form of a person that began to invest in my life and showed me ministry that I never thought I would see. Because I remember my mind racing as I left Kenya that first time. I thought, well, you know, I can get Pastor Wallace and get Pastor Sandy and get Pastor so-and-so. And we can all come over here. We can stay about a month and we can minister all these churches. And I thought, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. It showed us a model of gathering people together and releasing the presence and the power of God in people's lives. And since that time, in about the last 6 years, seen about 500,000 people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God is doing amazing things around the world. Amen. I want to share a few things with you before I really get into a message. I don't know if they have a PowerPoint there. Just do you have it? If not, that's okay. On our book table, I have a couple things that for you. The first book that I did is called What I Have, I Give to You. And it really tells that story of how God began to do some things in my life. Because as you begin to, okay, very good. That's a crusade there in Tanzania. But this book tells about that story, how God began to change some things in my life. From seeing miracles and healing take place occasionally, to see that to be the normative operation of the Christian life. Amen? Somebody, here, let me give that to you, brother. Yeah. Because anybody that come to church with shorts like that, legs like that, man, praise God. I love you. Amen. And then we also did this one, School of the Spirit. I think the last time I was here, I actually preached a sort of a condensed version of this. We had people filled with the Holy Spirit. We had people healed. We had people come to a new level where they begin to operate in various manifestations of that, where they begin to speak in multiple tongues. So I trust that'll be a blessing to you. You can pick that up. It's also online. This last one I just finished, the last one I've done, is called Life Restored. But you know, as Pastor was talking today, he said, you know, you can be healed, but now shake the bucket. There's a place where maybe there's a little something left there. Maybe there's something that God wants to do. It's amazing how you can be healed in one area of your life and still suffer in another area of your life. And this follows through the book of Nehemiah, how God wants to restore us in every area of our life. And if I can, Sister Joy, let me give that to you. Because I just see you. I mean, I can just tell that's a book for you to put your feet toward the water. You know, let Pastor Wallace bring you a big cup of chai, cover your feet up with an Afghan, and just enjoy the sunshine. Amen? Praise God. I said this picture here is since the last time I was with you. I did do a crusade in Tanzania. I remember my driver, as he picked me up, the bishop that was hosting that, I said, brother, what's the worst place of Tanzania? What's the place that pastors don't want to go? What's the place that evangelists won't go? He laughed. He said, oh, brother, you're in it. Shinyanga. So we went out and we did our, in fact, I ended up going by myself, as it turned out. So I preached three times a day for about 5 days. And this was the first man that came up. As I was preaching, he came up and testified, said he was deaf. His ears just popped open that God gave him hearing. Amen. God is still in the miracle working business. Amen. Just flip over to the next one. This one always sticks with me because I was in Kasese, Uganda. This young lady, I came to pray for her, and she was also a deaf mute. But her ears popped open, and she was making these motions, and she was saying how she could hear, but she wasn't speaking. And I put my hand on her chest, and there was something rumbling there. And I said to her, I said, just repeat what I say. And she looked at me with all sincerity. She said, but I don't know how to talk. You see, God will begin to do things in your life sometimes that it takes a while for your intellect to catch up with, doesn't it? It takes a while for your brain to really begin to fathom all that God is doing in your life. That's what was taking place with that young lady right near the Congolese border. This is a picture. Pastor Mike was on this crusade, the very last one that we were in Kisii, Kenya, that with Pastor Dosik, the last time we did a crusade there, and 62,000 people made a decision to follow Jesus Christ over a 5-day period. 62,000 people. God is doing extraordinary things. And then something happened. We had this thing called COVID that hit, and it's like, what in the world? Nobody's going anywhere. Government shut down. But that doesn't stop the gospel, does it? So we continue to do some things. We had to do some things in a different form. I think the next one. This is my wife giving out gifts to the children. And this was in July. That we went back to Kenya. We ministered in Nairobi. We took Pastor Billy Pridgen and his wife Dawn. They went with us, and we ministered for From Wednesday to Sunday, several services there at Calvary Covenant Center. Went out on the street and was able to visit the children's home there and just be a blessing to them. Can you imagine your child as you packed boxes? Think of that as you pack these Christmas boxes that you're sending around the world, a child that has never had a toy. Most of your kids, you're saying, you need to clean this up and weed some things out. Amen? These kids had never had a toy. So, of course, every little boy wanted a car. Every little boy wanted a truck. And it was fun. I just got down on my knees and they had cars shooting all over the place. But, you know, you watch and you see the difference in personalities. I remember one young boy that he put that car right back in like a display case. And he made sure that top fit just right. And he treasured that thing. You could tell this became a treasured possession. Every little girl got a doll that she could play with. And the older girls got cosmetics and some things of that nature. We were just able to be a blessing to them and minister to them. And then we went out on the street because even what we had planned to take a crusade vehicle, next picture if you would, the crusade vehicle, the government put a stop to. So you find another way to minister. If God closes one door, or if one door is closed rather, you just look for another way to go. So we went out on the street and just talked to people. I told my sister in the praise team, I was joking with her because she saw me come in and she waved to me. You see, in Kenya, this doesn't mean hello, this means come here. And I was on the street and I began to realize I was doing it instinctively. I would just say, come here. And people would come to me. I said, hey, this is good. I'll just stand right here and use apostolic authority. Hey, come here. And people would walk right up, you tell them about Jesus and they got saved. In a church that had not seen anyone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ for 18 months because of COVID and their shutdown, we saw 58 salvations in just a couple of days. And we're able to minister to people on the street, see people healed. Here's Kim praying for a lady that later came back to a women's meeting, and they were able to minister to several hundred women and impart to them. And then I was able to go back to Kenya in September. I went back by myself and again ministered in that area. Some of those right along that same street are gated communities, mostly Muslim. I told Pastor Mike, I said, I realized when they pulled in that night and they shut the gate behind me, a thought went through my head. I said, you've locked me in here with all the Muslims. And then I realized, no, they locked all the Muslims in here with me. So we were able to preach under a tent, because if you're preaching outside with loudspeakers and people are just living, you know, they're right there, you're right outside their living room. The windows are open. They're going to hear what's being said. And we had people that formerly said they were Muslims that came and gave their life to Jesus Christ. So God is doing some extraordinary things. Pastor Wallace made mention about somebody buying a goat. That is one of the projects that we have begun there in Kenya. That we've already built the facility. And I've sent some of those things out by email. Where we will establish a goat herd of dairy goats. We've built the barn. We've established a watering system. We have men there that are working it. We've already storing up feed and things of that nature. Now's time to actually buy the goats. So I need to raise about another $3,000 to buy a herd of 20 dairy goats. What does that do? I said, why? You know, why is a preacher getting goats? I asked God the same thing. But he told me to do that. I felt like he told me to do that. And then when I connected with my friend in Kenya, he said, you know, God is speaking to me about the same thing. God will confirm things that he has you to do. But what that will do is then provide milk for the orphanage, provides milk for sale. It gives some people jobs. It would create revenue for future ministry in Kenya and East Africa, some other nations that we're going to. But also it then becomes a place of breeding stock, where we can give local pastors, rural pastors, the startup of a goat herd themselves, you know, maybe two does and a buck. And I've been told that in Kenya they have a saying that when the livestock comes, poverty flees. Amen. Amen? So our goal is not just to raise goats. Our goal is to chase poverty out of people's lives and bring them to a place where they can be self-sufficient, where the blessing of God can come in their life and they can do all that God would have them to do. Already, and I gave the first installment of some of those things in July. I went to Bishop's, the location where the farm would be, just a couple days later. The gentleman on the left is a government official that establishes goat farms everywhere in Kenya. And when he saw what we were doing, his eyes got big, because they think very differently. I mean, he had pictures of goat barns, and it was like to house two or three goats. And I said, no. We want to build it like this, but we want 50. He said, oh, this is a commercial enterprise. I said, yes, that's what it is. It's a commercial enterprise. It's interesting enough, that's what he does throughout the entire country. But he's getting ready to retire in a short while. So I've told him he'll be working with us and establishing some goat farms in other areas of that nation. So if you would, like I said, one goat costs $150. Pray about that and see what God would have you to do. The other thing I want to share with you on the back table is a little card that says Gideon 300. What is Gideon 300? I felt like God spoke to me to get people, 300 people that would give $300 a year, $25 a month. You know, I've had some people say to me, I wish I could, but I just can't afford that. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you heard about something good, but, you know, I just hang on to that. In fact, let me just tell you, I sat in this congregation years ago, probably 20, 25 years ago. And remember somebody coming and they were doing water wells and it was going to be about $10,000. And I said, God, I wish I could do that. I just don't have the money. Well, that was 25 years ago. Now we've put in numerous wells in Kenya and we'll be doing some others in other areas of the world. So if God would put on your heart $25 a month, everybody here could do that. Now, if you don't want to, I understand. If you say, well, I don't feel like God would lead, I understand. I'm not going to love you any less. But everybody can. Because just like in Kenya, I want to break that poverty off of your life as well. Amen? That you can sow into something, and that allows us to do the other things that we're doing around the world. $25 a month, $300 a year. Because already next year, we have 9 locations that we have open to us. We'll be going back to Kenya. We'll be going to Tanzania. We're working on pastors' meetings there with the idea of doing another crusade in Tanzania. I was just in September, was also in South Africa. They want us to come and do a crusade there, and they need it desperately. They need a crusade desperately. It reminded me so much of America, the idea of wealth, but spiritually poor. Spiritually in great need. An area that had been touched by God in times past. Men like John G. Lake that establishes tremendous healing ministries in that area. But today, somehow, they seem to have gone astray. But they have all the outward signs of prosperity. And yet, some of the churches are really struggling. You know, when Pastor Wallace asked me to come and asked me to share, he said, just give an update on what God is doing. Those are some of the things since the last time that we've been with you. And yet I begin to ask God about what to share with you. Because I don't want to just come and share what God did. I want to see what God is doing. Amen? Because pastors already declared there's going to be healing around the altar today. God's going to touch and minister to you today. And I begin to realize that it seems like our world is just obsessed with this idea of purity. That everywhere I've traveled, you're washing hands. Pastor Mike has been with me as we've come into the airport in Nairobi. You have to physically get out of the car. Now figure this. You get out of the car as a passenger. You have to go wash your hands, go through a checkpoint, have them screen you, exit the building, wash your hands again, and get back in your car. We seem to be obsessed with this idea of purity and this idea of cleanliness, but has that translated over into our spiritual life? We're continually washing, continually cleaning. I was on a plane from Nairobi to Johannesburg, and about a dozen Oriental men got on. They were quite noticeable because even in the lounge, as you're waiting on the plane, they put their suitcases beside them. They want to make sure everybody's social distance from me and stay a good distance away from me. They're all sprawled out. But they also had on full Tyvek coveralls, little booties on their shoes. They had rubber gloves. And of course, we're all wearing a mask. And then we get on a plane where they were trying to social distance everybody, and you're sitting like this. You can't help but touch the person next to you. And I watched them until the meal came. And then the meal came, and they took their mask off, and they ate their food with the same rubber gloves, and they put the mask back on. Now, this is not a message about COVID and whether you want to wear a mask or not, but I begin to wonder, do we take the same care about being spiritually pure? Recently, just right here in North Carolina, I was talking with a young man that I minister to regularly because he asked me to. He asked me to mentor him. He asked me to teach him about Jesus. And as I was talking to him, I asked him about some things in his life, and his comment was, well, I'm doing pretty good. I said, well, what does that mean? And he said, well, I'm not having sex. And I said, well, that's a good thing. Since you're You're in your 20s, you're not married. That's a good thing, you're not having sex. What about this? And we begin to talk about his thought life. We begin to talk about his sexual purity. We begin to talk about his purity of spirit. We begin to talk about all those things that might affect a young man in his 20s. And he looked at me very sincerely and he said, I guess I never realized it was that important. And I wonder, sometimes does a church not realize how important purity is to God? Amen? The writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews 12 and 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man will see the Lord. You know, it's easy enough for us to say, well, without holiness, no one will see Jesus in me. And that's true. That's true. But you know, there's a place, there's an experience that God wants to bring us to. There's an encounter that God wants to have with you because he loves you so much that we can't get to without holiness. Jesus taught it in the Beatitudes, and we'll glance over it. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. You know, one of the nations I went to was in Kampala, Uganda, and I remember coming down in the hotel, and I ended up, didn't get a message. So I didn't get to a meeting that I was supposed to go to, but I was at the meeting I think God had me go to. I ended up in a store with a man that was a Muslim. He had just moved there a couple weeks before, and he got up and he locked the door, and his question was, have you ever seen Jesus? And I realize this man's having encounters with Christ, and he doesn't know what to do with it because Jesus is appearing to people all around the world and revealing to himself to them. And some of them don't know what to do. And some Christians are wanting some things, but they don't know what to do. And I think it comes back to a sense of purity and holiness in our own life. The Apostle Paul realized how important it was. He said that he brought his body under subjection, lest after preaching to other people, he himself should be a castaway. It's not an encouraging word. But in a time, Matt, when people are asking, go, did I take the mark? Have I missed it? Have I lost my salvation? When people are asked, shouldn't we ask, am I meeting the requirements to do what God would have me to do? Am I fulfilling what God told me to do? See, I'm not sure we even understand grace. We say, God, that's your unmerited favor. Yes, but it's not like your sin didn't matter. It mattered a great deal. It mattered so much that God wants to give you divine enablement, divine empowerment to overcome sin. Doesn't matter what that sin nature was. It doesn't matter what your particular issue is. God will empower you to overcome it. Doesn't matter if it's depression or something in your body. I prayed for a lady up here this morning. When I went to pray for her, I thought, she doesn't need healing. She needs to understand dominion. You need to understand that everything that comes into your life, you don't have to accept. You don't have to put up with everything. Some things you need to tell to depart and never come back. In the Old Testament book of Ezekiel, if they could put that on the screen, in fact, Ezekiel 44, 11 through 15, I don't know if you can put that up there, is an interesting passage because it covers this long prophetic vision that Ezekiel has. It covers 8 chapters. You'll be glad to know that I'm not going to read all 8 chapters today. But right in the middle of this prophetic vision that talks about a temple that will come when Jesus comes back and sets up an earthly kingdom, he addresses the priest and he addresses the Levites. I told my wife this morning, sometimes as New Testament Christians, I think we think, well, that doesn't have anything to do with us. But we forget that God gave Moses the pattern of the tabernacle. That there'll be a temple in heaven. Amen. When God sets up a new kingdom, a new Jerusalem upon the earth, he'll set up this temple. And he says here in chapter 44, beginning at verse 11, he talks about the Levites and the priests, and he separates them. He says about the Levites, they had really erred. They had fallen into idolatry, the previous verse in verse 10. He says, yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary as gatekeepers of the house and ministers of the house. They shall slay the burnt offerings and sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them. Listen to the words. They shall stand before them, and they shall minister to them because they have ministered to them before their idols. But down in verse 13, it says this. And they shall not come near me to minister to me as unto a priest, or come too near to any of my holy things. You know, when I read that, I began to have this picture in my mind. Can you imagine, as big as heaven is, that one day that you get to heaven and you just get inside the gate, but you never get to see Jesus? During funerals, we have some of the worst theology ever. People say, oh, when I get to heaven, I'm going to see Mama. I'm going to see Uncle Joe. I'm going to see those people. But I want to see Jesus. Amen. I'll see all them later. After I spend some time with Jesus, then I can hug Mama's neck. I can hug Mama's neck at the gate as long as she's taking me to Jesus. Amen. But it's, what's important is the one that died for me. And here he says of these priests, they could stand before people, but they're not stand before me. And then he goes on in verse 15. He says, but the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, his name literally means just or righteous. The sons of righteousness, the ones that are living justly, the ones that are living a pure life, they'll minister unto me. You know, when we come in for a time of praise and worship like we just experienced, that's not a song service. That's ministry unto the Lord. Amen. There are some people that right here in this sanctuary, you ministered unto the Lord. And there's others, you just sang songs. And God wants to bring you into his presence. He wants to bring you into to him, because today we stand in a great house. Amen? This is a great house, not because of the beauty of the sanctuary, although I always thought it was a beautiful sanctuary. Not because of the size of the building or how many people, but as I look out and I see people that are involved in things in the community, in the medical field, in the educational field, I see what Pastor Wallace is doing and investing in the lives of other ministers. There'll be people that will receive training today because of the influence that you have. Even as we were talking earlier, and those that are watching by live stream, that the message that goes out from this house goes around the world and affects and influences other people. This is a great house. And the Bible says that in a great house, there's vessels of not just gold and silver, but wood and earth. Some are for noble purposes and some for ignoble purposes. And if a man will cleanse himself, we have a part to play. We have a part to play. We have to make an effort, don't we? If we will purge ourselves, he said, we'll become a vessel of honor. You know, I used to work as a welder, and we would have to purge a piping system so we could weld on it, and it would not contaminate the inside of the pipe. And it wasn't just enough to fill it. You had to fill it, and then it had to be pressurized. It had to have enough pressure on the inside so the outside environment did not affect it. That's what we were talking about as Pastor was up and encouraging you to come and dump and give things to the Lord. There has to be something internal so the world doesn't filter into your life. You have to purge your life. He says, if we do that, become a vessel of honor. Simply draw close to God, James says. Draw close to God and he'll draw close to you. Isn't that a wonderful passage? Because every time I open my Bible, every time I go to pray, every time I want to lift my hands in worship, I don't have to wait till I feel goosebumps. I don't have to wait till some emotion catches up with me. I have the Word of God that promises me I take one step and God takes two. Every time I begin to move to him, he begins to move to me. But we can forget the latter portion of that verse that once again says, but cleanse your hands and purify your hearts, that God wants to do something in our life to bring us into his presence in a greater dimension and a greater revelation of who he is. And then there's a prophetic declaration about your purity. In Psalm 24, the psalmist begins to describe, some would say it's just a pattern of worship. He begins to call on God as the creator of the heavens and the earth and the one that established things, and the earth belongs to him. But then in verse 3 of Psalm 24, he says, but who can ascend the hill of the Lord? He that has clean hands and a pure heart, not lift up his soul unto an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. He'll receive the blessing of the Lord. Amen? That's where the blessing comes, from God's very own presence. And then it says this in verse 6 of Psalm 24. Speaking of you, this is the generation of them that seek him, that seek his face. This is the generation in 2021, regardless of what's going on, God has saved the best for last. Amen? He has called you to this time, to this season, because you're the one that can deal with what's going on. Amen? We think, well, maybe if these things happened during the time of a Smith Wigglesworth or a John G. Lake or a Jack Coe or some in the 50s or some of the healing evangelists. No. God kept you for the very end, and he wants you to deal with and overcome. But you can't seek his hands. You have to seek his face. And all the way around the world as I minister to people, what I'm seeing is a group of people that just want God. Just want God. I'm seeing people turning away from, even carefully, turning away from truth of God's word because some things of abuse of other people. Say, oh, the prosperity gospel, and we broad things with a paint things with a broad brush. Don't you know there is prosperity in the gospel? Amen? There's prosperity, there's blessing that comes when we seek his face, but I can't seek him just for the blessing. I just want him. And God wants to give himself to you. God wants to move in your life in such a way, in a greater intimacy than you've ever experienced before. I believe he's going to do that in the lives of some people today, because here the psalmist begins to speak about our triune nature. We are a spirit. And sometimes Americans, I think, forget that. We act like we're a physical body having a spiritual experience. And we can come in on a Sunday morning and have an experience and maybe come back on Wednesday night and once in a while watch something online and have a spiritual experience. But you are a spirit. You live in a body. You have a soul. You are a triune being. And here in the midst of that psalm, in verse 7 of Psalm 24, there's a shift that changes, because he's talking to people as if you come into God's presence. And then he makes a shift. And he realizes, as you read it in your devotional time this afternoon. He makes a shift where the people are now God's temple and God is entering in. God wants to come in. He says, lift up your gates, lift up your heads, O ye gates. Lift up the doors, and let the King of glory may come in. That God, you have to open yourself up that God can come into your life. Amen. You have to allow him to do something in your life so you can fulfill some basic requirements. See, if I asked any one of you, well, what's the first and greatest commandment? You could probably rattle it right off. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. How do you do that if your mind is still consumed with other things? How do you do that and worship God with all your emotions if your emotions are fractured and damaged and you're fearful and worried and full of anxiety? God wants to so fill your life, every avenue of your life, because when you're born again, your spirit becomes new, but your mind has to be renewed. But your emotions sometimes have to be healed. There's something that has to come into our life that God has to do in us, because he's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle or blemish. Amen? And if we're not careful, somehow or another, at this point, we think it's our human effort, but it's not. You see, as I've traveled, when I was in Kenya, I told my wife, I said, I wore a nice brand new white shirt, preached that day on the street, came home and took that shirt off. I said, man, that is nasty. I had to throw that thing away. Well, they washed it for me, and it was still nasty. When I got home, I had to spray some stuff on there. I had to scrub it a little bit. I had to put some bleach on it, because spots can be washed out. Wrinkles can be pressed, but it takes pressure, it takes heat, it takes the fire of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Wrinkles can be pressed out, but blemishes can only be healed. Blemishes can only be healed. In Leviticus, it talks about 12 things that would keep someone from being a priest, standing in God's presence. It's physical things that have to do with spiritual realities. It says things like a broken foot. You see, if you can't walk this walk, you can't stand in God's presence. If you can't live this thing out, you can't walk in his presence. If even your diet, one of the things that lists is scurvy. Scurvy comes from just having a consistently poor diet. What are you eating? What are you taking in? You're fed well here. You're fed well here. But what do you take in on Monday afternoon, on Tuesday morning, on Thursday evening? What? Oh, my goodness. Let's not talk about Friday and Saturday night. What are you taking in? What are you consuming that affects your mind, your emotions, your thought life? You see, if it's just a matter of, like the young man I was speaking to said, well, I'm not having sex, but I am watching porn, then there's an issue. And you know what? It's so much on the rise that, ladies, you're not off the hook either, because the latest statistics say about 30% of women have viewed porn in the last 30 days or so. It's off the charts. And that tells me not that it's a bad person. It tells me that there's something that needs to be healed. If you're getting emotional gratification from that, something that God needs to do in your life. If you're reading things because it stirs you up emotionally, then maybe God wants to do something in your life. I had lunch with a young man on Friday here in Ahoskie, and as we were talking about some things, I asked him about, well, what is God doing with you? What's he doing in you? And very sincerely, he looked at me, he thought for a moment, then he got a grin on his face. He said, you know, God is healing me of things I didn't even know I needed healed from. Some of you, your life's affected because there's things deep down, and you shoved them down so deep you don't even want to deal with them. And God wants to bring them out so he can get them out, so they won't never hurt you again. Amen? He wants to bring a purifying into your life. That list in Leviticus, the last thing it talks about is the inability to reproduce. Place a spiritual context on that. When you realize 1 in 10 people in the Western church has ever won anyone to Christ. 1 in 10. God says, you can't live it on the street. You can't live it in my presence. And yet his heart breaks because he wants people in his presence. He's not condemning. Don't let the devil take this to be something condemning of you today. God wants it to be restorative in nature. He wants it to be healing in nature. He wants to bring us to a place where purity will rule and reign in our life. Because he gives us promises. There's promises for our purity. Promises for our purity. In 2 Chronicles 7 and 1. It's not 2 Chronicles, 2 Corinthians, excuse me. Let me turn to 2 Corinthians 7, 1. He said, therefore, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We said when you're born again, you become brand new. Pastor Wallace and Joy just enjoy that brand new baby. Isn't there something wonderful about holding that infant? There's something just so pure. They even smell nice most of the time. And it just, tell the truth, Pastor. You just stuck your head right in there and went, blah, 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 blah. You just want to eat that up. That's good stuff. There's something pure. God says there's something, though, that can corrupt filthiness of flesh and spirit. You notice things that begun in the flesh that can take on a spiritual connotation. They begin to manifest themselves in your spiritual life. And he says we need to cleanse ourselves of those things. But he tells us that there's some promises there. And to see them, we have to look at a couple of verses before that in 2 Corinthians 6. And it says this. And what agreement? He talks about the idea of the idolatry and all those things. And he says, and ye are the temple of the living God. And God has said, I will dwell in them. And in the King James, it says this, very interesting. It says, and I will walk in them. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. I'll be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And God says, if we'll cleanse ourselves, the promise is he'll dwell in us. It's not enough to dwell with you. He wants to dwell in you. He wants to be a part of everything that you're doing. He wants to never leave you, never forsake you, and yet we can grieve him, can't we? Sister Joy ministered for many years with hospice, and you know what it is to deal with people in grief. They go through a process. They suffer. They hurt emotionally because they've suffered loss. Someone that they once cared about is no longer there with them. Imagine what that's saying. Don't grieve the Spirit of God, Ephesians 4:30. Don't grieve him. Don't cause him to miss your presence. Don't cause him to be hurt, to pain him because of what's lost. He wants an intimate relationship with you. I think sometimes I get people to ask me, well, what's the difference that we see in America and in other countries? I think this is the reality of it. In other nations, they understand that there's a spiritual dimension. They understand the things of the Spirit. And in America, we are so intellectual that we only think if it's information. But information just puffs up. This Word of God says knowledge puffs up, doesn't it? Doesn't say cardinal knowledge. Doesn't say worldly knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love will edify. But we need to come to a place and walk in God's Spirit and stay in step with him, not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And 1 Thessalonians reminds us to not quench the Spirit, one translation says. Others say, don't put out the Spirit's fire. But you know, you can have a fire going and you can quench it without ever putting it out. Come on, you've had the charcoal grill flare up and you took some water and steam rose up, and you just dampened it down a little bit. I wonder sometimes, do we live our life in such a way where as long as it's burning, we feel like we're okay? And God wants to fan your life into flames. He wants to so empower you that nothing can stand before you. Amen? He's called you to walk in authority and dominion upon the earth. And what I realize is that sometimes it's the fire comes to cleanse and purge and purify things in our life. But if we're not careful, we'll throw water on it. Because we're concerned about loss. Anybody that's ever been involved in a house fire knows you have to more damage from water damage than you do fire damage. Out of our fear of losing something, we throw a bunch of water on it, and then later on we got other problems to deal with. God's just really saying, would you trust me to come and cleanse and purge and purify the things in your life? To bring healing to the things you didn't even know that you needed healing from. He says he would dwell with them. But where are we dwelling? I'm reminded in Luke chapter 8, the story of the Gadarene demoniac, and it says he was from the town, but he lived in the tombs. The story of the prodigal son says something similar. It says when he came to himself, he got his father's inheritance, and when he came to himself, then he came back. It means he'd been living apart from himself. He'd been living apart from his identity and who he's really called to be. Where have you been living? We say we're a Christian, but are you living continually in God's presence, or are there times that you check out and go somewhere else and stay for a little while? Is there times where you go someplace that's not part of who you are? That's not who you are. That's not your identity. And God's saying, would you come back home? Just come back home. Come back into his presence. Jesus promised that if we would love him, if we would keep his commandments, that he would come and would manifest himself to us. You see, again, in America, I think sometimes we think those things away. We rationalize some things away, but God's saying, I want to come and be with you. I want to sit at your kitchen table. What if he did? What if God came and sat down on the sofa next to you while you're watching TV? Would he be comfortable? Would he have to leave the room? Are we living in such a way that God would be comfortable in our homes? Any time of day or night that he's welcome to come in. He says he would dwell with them. The position that he'd be in us. That we have to remember that Jesus said the kingdom of God is within us. And sometimes we're looking for something external to fix something that's internal. And what we really have to do is release what God has already given you to influence and affect the atmosphere around you. And it doesn't matter if you need healing in your body, you need to release the Holy Spirit in your own life and take authority over those things in your life. Amen? Doesn't mean you can't use doctors. Praise God for doctors. I've had to use them myself and things that I wrestled with and struggled with for a long time and get a little bit of victory and seemed like I couldn't quite get all of it and wrestle with those things. But your wrestling with your faith pleases the heart of God. He's not so much concerned about you getting the blessing as he is your faith being activated in your life, because the Word of God says the just shall live by faith. Pastor Wallace said he'll be teaching a series the next couple of weeks, Faith for Where We're Going. Can I tell you just real plainly? You won't get there if you don't first purify yourself. You may get right up to close. You may get you'll get a lot further than you are right now, but you'll never get to where God has you to be if you won't let him come into your life and just purge everything out. Pressurize your life where the inside is now influencing and affecting the outside. He said he would dwell in them, and the King James says walk in them. Walk in them. You know, I know that if you have another translation, it probably says walk among them. But that's not the same thing. I looked and it seems that in the original intent was that he walked in them. God wants to walk in you. He wants to fill you in such a way that now you become Jesus walking upon this earth. That's a big step sometimes for some Christians in America. That he wants us to come and influence and affect some things in a region. I showed you that picture of Tanzania when I went and did that crusade, you know, that day in an area that wasn't supposed to rain for two more months, that things began to, wind picked up, the clouds got dark. I thought it was going to storm. The wind started blowing so hard, I thought the platform was going to blow over. And I looked at my interpreter. I said, I think we have a group of witches. He said, I think you're right. I said, I'll be back. I walked out on the field. I said, okay, God, this is David, and I'm here. And I prayed in the Holy Ghost until I felt like God gave me a breakthrough. And when he told me he gave me a breakthrough, there was just a little bit of clouds that parted, and the sun shined through. And I preached that way for 5 days. I remember walking to the platform the first night, and I put my Bible down. One drop of water fell on my hand. So I had to publicly announce that I took authority over the rain and the weather, and that things were going to be clear. And they were clear for 5 days. And we preached and we ministered to people. And at the very end, I couldn't even leave because I asked God about praying for people in a certain way, and he wouldn't let me. But I couldn't leave. And I was just sharing with them about my desire to come back and to return to their great nation. And God began to spontaneously fill people with the Holy Ghost. They just spontaneously begin to speak in other tongues, and nobody laying hands on them, nobody touching them. When I got back to the hotel that night, I'm in the shower, and suddenly I hear this loud roar, and I thought, what was going on? In an area that has very, very little rain, it was dusty and dry, and it wasn't supposed to rain for two more months. That night, the heavens opened up, and God poured out rain and just filled the streets. When I met with the pastors the next morning, they said, we see that as the blessing of God. You say those things to sometimes in America, and we wonder, well, do we control stuff? No, God doesn't let you just turn things on for your golf game and turn them off, and it's not how that works. But he will give you authority in the kingdom of God. Over everything you encounter, doesn't matter demonic spirit, doesn't matter the weather, doesn't matter what is going on, he'll give you authority. But you've got to come to a place of purity in your life. I was talking with Abdul before the service, and he said something very telling to me, something I heard yesterday. He said, I've made up my mind just to tell God yes. Just to tell God yes. Doesn't matter what the question is. Yes, Lord. Yesterday I was listening to somebody else, and he said, what would God do in your life if he knew no matter what he asked, the answer was yes? Don't have to think about it. Don't have to pray about it. That's you, God? Okay, we'll go. What would God do with you if he did not have to worry about whether or not you would be obedient to what he said do? Here he says he would walk not just among them, he would walk in them to show his ability strong, to demonstrate himself through you. That God just doesn't want to fill you, he wants to use you to influence and affect some areas in the lives of other people that have not yet got to the place that you are. In other nations of the world, people are amazed. I say, I grew up and never went to church. Didn't have that. Was a grown man, already with a messed up life before I ever knew anything about God. But I also have to say, nobody ever asked me. Nobody ever asked me. Until a man gave me a Bible sitting on top of a submarine in Norfolk Naval Shipyard. It changed my life. You have more power than you think you have. You have more influence than you think you have. This is a great house. A great house. But in this house, there's a lot of vessels. Some are gold and some are silver. But some are wood and earth that need cleaning. Need cleansing. And today, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. There's some specific groups of people that I want to pray for. I believe God gave me some things that God's going to minister healing in your body, but there's some things that sometimes that we don't even think about that our conscience needs to be cleared. If you've ever gone through a divorce, ever, I want you to come to the altar very quickly. I don't care if it was 50 years ago. I don't care if you've been remarried for 49 years. If you've ever been through a divorce, I want you to come to the altar real quick. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just make one line here. Just stand shoulder to shoulder. These are the people you're doing war with. Stand shoulder to shoulder with them. Amen. Amen. There's something going on in you today, isn't there? Yeah, you don't look around. You know who I'm talking about. You know it. You feel it, don't you? God's doing something in you. He's calling you to a greater depth in Him, isn't He? It's a beautiful thing, man. I'm proud of you. I am proud of you, man. It takes a man to stand up and serve God. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. Lives that the world would say were broken. God says lives that are empowered. Lives that are healed. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here sitting in your seat, how about just begin to worship? Just quietly. Just lift your hands. If you pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray quietly in the Holy Spirit. We're going to minister, because there's some other groups of people I want to pray for, but I had no idea. There's so many. Hallelujah. How do you help me? Just help me, just in case. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Something when you can laugh at the days of disaster. Because I hear the Lord say, I've watched you. I've watched you. And you've done well, daughter. You've done well. I've shaped and I've molded you. Today I heal. In a deep recess that you didn't even know was there, I heal. And I break those things off of a generational line. It would not touch your children. It would not influence and affect. Release healing right now in the name of Jesus. Shut up, shut up. Just receive anointing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Shut up, shut up, shut up. Hallelujah. She said, hallelujah. Look up, sister. Look up. You've hung your head down long enough. Long enough. You are called to the kingdom for such a time as this. God knew what He got when He got you. You are not a mistake. You are not insufficient, inferior, or subpar. You are not. God says you are a purified vessel, holy, fit for the Master's use for every good work. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Look up, brother. All shame. We just brush that off of you. Things that have stuck down there and have hurt you. God says, I've had enough. I've had enough. All shame has been removed from your life. Now I'm calling you to go in. It took me a day to get Israel out of Egypt. It took me 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. I'm taking things out of your life today to bring you in to where I want you to be. Enter in. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Enter into His presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Seek His face. Seek His face, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. What's your name, man? James. Wow. James. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you, James. Amen. Lift your hands, James. James, as soon as I told you to lift your hands, this dear lady right beside you undergirded you. She rushed right to your side. That's a beautiful thing, James. Not everybody has a wife that would pray for him, James. I believe God's going to use you in a greater dimension, James. He's going to use you to speak to some men. You might have thought you couldn't do that, but he's going to use you just like you are, not like Pastor Wallace is. Don't try to be a cheap copy of him. Just be a genuine you. Father, we just take authority over those things in his life right now. A cleansing, purging right now. Purifying in his life. Fire of God, just fall in him, Lord God. Walk around in him, Lord God. Walk in him. Demonstrate yourself through him, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Father, thank you. Together, but different. We had a different battle. Because every battle is unique and every wound is unique. But God would say to you, well, the one thing that is consistent is me. That I'm the healer of every wound. I'm the restorer of every soul. I'm the filler of every life. Release healing to you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. But there's something welling up in you, isn't it? There's something just welling up in you, isn't it? You can feel that. Yeah? You just release that. You just let that come out. It comes out of a song. You best let it come out. Tears are over. Joy is coming. Amen? A new song is coming into your life. A new level of worship is coming into your life. Just let it flow. He's pressurizing you. He's pressurizing you. And you're going to influence the community around you. Amen? Hallelujah. Shout out. Father, healing, wholeness right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Shout out. Fill her, Lord God. Come and dwell in her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Lord, out of her own mouth, out of her own mouth, she's declared filler and user, Lord God. Give her opportunity, Lord God, where Jesus would just come oozing right out of her and influence the people around her, Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Lord God. Shut up. Healing. Healing. Healing in a level you never thought was possible. I heard the Lord say, you've even said there's some things that will always be there. I'll just have to always deal with that. Yeah. God says, no, you won't. He's removing some things from you. He's taking some things off of you. He's filling you. Yeah. He's healing. His emotion, a cleansing, Lord God, of his conscience. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Shout out, sister. Look up, sister. Look up. Look up. Look up. Don't be scared. Look up. You got a beautiful smile. You should use it more often. Amen. Amen. Father, release joy to her right now. Joy in Jesus' name. Joy, Lord God, unspeakable, full of glory, full of your manifestation, Lord God. Healing in her body, healing for her conscience, Lord God. Cleansing of her mind of things that have happened in years past, Lord God. Years, years, Lord God, remove even the scars, Lord God, that have remained in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I can see it in your eyes. I can see it in your eyes. God's already done a tremendous work in you, haven't he? Every bit, Lord God. Glory. Just touch her once again, Lord God. Come to her, Lord God. Manifest yourself to her. She loves you. God, she loves you. Manifest yourself to her. Show your face to her, Lord God. Give her peace. Give her peace in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I saw that. Why'd you cut your eyes here to me? Huh? Huh? You know, so I don't know about that guy. I know how people are around the altar. You ain't seen me push nobody down, knock them on the head, trip them up. You ain't seen me do that.
No.
Huh?
No.
I'm me touch you. I want God to touch you. Lift your hands. Lift your hands to heaven. Amen. hallelujah. Yes. What would the answer be if God knew the... What would the questions be if God knew the answer would be yes? What would he ask you to do if he knew you would agree? Father, healing. Healing, Lord God, in Jesus' name. That everything you've called her to, you've empowered her for. Everything you've called her to, you've empowered her for. Move through her in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God. Something. Army. Yep. Strong.
Yes.
Strong man.
Strong man.
Amen. I like that. Amen. Even strong men hurt.
Yep.
Even strong men hurt.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes feel like we can't tell nobody about that. Tell God. Lift your hands to heaven. Father, thank you. Thank you for a strong man. Sound, secure. Lord, take him to places, Lord God. Unfamiliar. Unfamiliar places in the spirit. New doors, new avenues, Lord God. He knows who he is. He knows who he is. Show him who you are, Lord. Show him who you really are. Pull back the veil and reveal your glory to this one, Lord God. Reveal your glory to him. Let your face shine upon him, Lord God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. You're just afraid somebody's going to touch it, aren't you? You're afraid somebody's going to touch the hurt, aren't you? Yeah. I understand that. Every time you start to get healed, somebody wants to touch it and pull the scab off, don't they? God wants you whole. You trust him? You lift your hands. You don't have to trust me. You trust him. Father, right now, we just speak healing, peace. Those deep recesses of her life right now in Jesus' name. Those areas, Lord God, that she doesn't want to share with anyone, that only you and her know about. Healing. Healing's come. Healing's come. Tell it, can't you? Don't you ever tolerate the enemy accusing you again. Ever. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. When the enemy accuses you, you just point him to Jesus. Amen? Don't waste time with him. Just point him to Jesus. And keep your face fixed on God. Amen. Don't look at what the enemy's doing. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lift your hands, brother. Hallelujah. Father, wholeness right now. Wholeness. Peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey. What are you afraid of? What are you afraid of? You look at me like, oh my goodness, he can look right into me and he's going to say something about me. God loves you. If you can get a grip of how much he really is crazy about you, it will change your life. It'll change you. He's not here to condemn you, but he wants to heal you. Believe that? Thank you, Father. Father, right now, Lord God, everything, Lord God, oh, let the cleansing water flow in her life, Lord. Let it come, Lord God. No longer condemnation. Joy. Joy that comes, Lord God. Healing, wholeness in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You just spend some time. You just lift your hands and worship God. Your countenance is already changing. You know that? Your countenance is already changing. Hey, lift your hands. You're born again. You love the Lord. Do you know that He loves you? You're not really sure. Father, heal. We release healing, Lord. The very depths, the recesses of her very being, the core, the root, Lord God. Release healing, Lord God. That blemish will be healed in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to do a work in her, Lord God. Father, that confidence would arise in her, Lord God. She would know who she is and back away from no thing. No thing. With you and God, nothing can stand in your way. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Wholeness in Jesus' name. You and your family for a long time, haven't I? Lift your hands, Kathy. Today, Lord, we declare a chapter ending and a new chapter beginning. A clean page. I see a clean page, and it's like God is just writing as fast as He can write. He's going to write a new future for you. A year from now, you'll have a new history of what God has done. Amen. Father, thank you for healing. Thank you for wholeness, Lord God. Thank you for things physically, spiritually, emotionally healed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Trembling, you're just afraid to let go. Hallelujah. Father, we release healing to her right now. Fear. We take authority over fear, worry, and anxiety right now in Jesus' name and command it to go. Command it to leave and not come back. You're not welcome. You're not welcome here. There's no room for you. Pressurize her, Lord. Fill her. Fill her in Jesus' name. If you're here, you have a heart issue. Somebody has a fibrillation. Is there somebody with a fluttering of the heart? That's you? That's you. Okay. God spoke to me about that. You're in the service. Father, put your hand on your heart right here. Father, right now, we just speak to this heart condition right now in Jesus' name. We command it to be regulated right now, to beat as it should, to come in proper alignment, to function the way you were originally intended to function. Father, we release the working of miracles in our life right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We speak a new heart. Lord, we're reminded of what you said to Ezekiel, that you remove a heart of stone and give up a heart of flesh. Recreate, Lord. Recreate every valve, every orifice there in Jesus' name. A new heart. A heart that will beat for you, Lord God. And thank you, Lord. Get checked in 30 days, God's going to do something. You tell Pastor Wallace when you go back to the doctor, I believe something's going to be different. Amen. Amen. You thank God. I can't do all I can do is say what He's, you know, what He tells me to say. I just hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Lift your hand, lift your hands, sweetie. Oh, such a joy. It's such a joy. You bring God joy. Do you know that? Do you know you bring God joy? Huh? You hope? Father, we speak healing right now in Jesus' name. Nothing would hurt ever again, Lord God. Things of the past, Lord God. Memories would just be even gone, Lord God. Like it was a story read about someone else. Those deep recesses, Lord God. Lord, that she doesn't even want to share with her husband. But you touch and heal right now in Jesus' name. We thank you. We thank you. Is there somebody else has, is anybody with kidney issues? You have kidney issues? You come and just make your way up here. I don't know if it's you have stones or people, somebody on dialysis or. Lift your hands. Lift your hands. Hear the Lord say, you've waited a long time. He says, but I've waited a long time for you. Working out things you didn't even know I was working out. Now I'm healing things that you don't even know need healed. Today is going to earmark the beginning of some things in your life. It's going to earmark it. It's a release coming. Father, right now, we just release the anointing of God in our life, healing, the working of miracles right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Hey. Lift your hands. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Let's speak peace. Shame. Some things, it's like it needs to be hid. God said, I'll pull back the veil. Everything that was done in darkness, I'll bring to light. But I want you in my presence. I'm going to set an appointment with you, I hear the Lord say. I'm going to set an appointment with you. I'm going to meet with you. We are going to fellowship together. Changed. You'll be different. Father, right now, speak peace into his life right now in Jesus' name. Healing, wholeness, Lord God. And those things hurt years ago, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. It's just such a yielding. Just such a yielding. I saw it just descend on you. Soon as God touched you, you just it's fun to watch. Father, we speak healing right now in Jesus' name. As she continues to yield, Lord God, her answer is yes. Her answer is yes, Lord. It doesn't matter the question. Her answer is yes. She's already yielded. Speak to her, Lord God. Greater things in her life, greater revelation in her life, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, right now, wholeness, healing, peace, Lord, peace, pain that nobody knew was there. Of miracles in his life, Father. Not just for him, but for a generation. There's those that have been left in the wake. I hear you saying you're healing them as well. You're touching their lives as well. You're doing a work in their lives as well. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Who's you? Look at me. God says to you, come here. Come here. I want to talk to you. Amen. Father, thank you. Thank you for it. Speak peace over our life, Lord. Healing. Healing in the working of miracles in our life right now in Jesus' name. As you meet with her, Lord God. She draws close to you, Lord. You promise you draw close to her. Touch every avenue of her life in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. God's done so much healing in you. Isn't he a good God?
Yes, he is.
He just wants to keep doing more. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Father, even those things in her memory, Lord God, those things that sometimes hurt, Lord God, some things that sometimes even would torment her in the night, we command it to go in Jesus' name. We release peace, healing right now in the name of Jesus. Working of miracles in her life right now. Those things she didn't even know that needed healed, Lord God. Joy, Lord God. We call forth that legacy, Lord God, to her daughter, her granddaughter. Father, there be a heritage, Lord God, of those that will serve the Lord. We thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Kidney stones? Just kidney problems. Oh, okay. Kidney problems. Put your hand right there. Does it cause you any pain? Okay. All right, Father, right now, we speak to those kidneys right now, Lord, that it calls them to function right now in Jesus' name. They release the body of impurities, Lord God. Those things that would hold her back, Lord God. Father, the purifying fire of the Holy Ghost release into her body right now. Healing and working of miracles, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, it'll begin to function. They begin to output at proper levels. And doctors will begin to ask why. And it'll just be a chuckle well up in her, Lord God. She tells them about what you've done in her life. Heal every avenue of her abdomen, Lord God, other areas in her body, her intestinal issues, Lord God, and need to be touched and healed right now in Jesus' name. Create and recreate as only you can do. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Kidney stones. Stones? Okay. Put your hand on them. Father, right now, we curse those stones right now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit will just cause them to blow up. Crush them under the power of the Holy Ghost right now. They'll be expelled from your body. Release healing right now. The working of miracles. That he would crush them under his power. They'd be gone in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. What else going on here? Something else in your... Something else? Father, we speak to those intestinal issues as well, Lord God. All infection and infirmity, we command it to be gone now in Jesus' name. Release healing in the working of miracles. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen, my friend. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that he understands a lot more than people think. Thank you, Lord, that you come and you sit on the end of his bed. And when he wakes up, you're still there. Touch his body, Lord God. Touch all his intestines, Lord God. Every physical part of his body. But even the memory of some things when he was a baby. Purge that. Purify that, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Healing, the working of miracles in his life right now. Do what only you can do, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. The boy's blessed to have a mother that never gave up. Blessed. Today's the very... It's an intimate time. It's my helper. Last two times I've been here, you've helped me around the altar. You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, bless you. Hey, man. How you doing? Good. Praise God. You got a beautiful smile. You know that? Can I get a hug from you? Praise God. Pastor Mike, I think I need to want to thank you for letting me come and share with you. Yeah, absolutely. Be happy to. Okay? And keep us in prayer. Amen? Help us take the gospel around the world. With everything you contribute to, you're a part of that. Amen? One day when we get to heaven, we'll be able to rejoice. And you'll get to meet all the family you haven't yet met. Amen? Praise God. Pastor Mike, thank you.
Give the Lord's praise. Well, now we get to help. You know, I got thinking about it, and I want you to join with me because I'm going to be one of those $25 a month. I get given that much money every year, in probably in 2 or 3 months. So it's not a stretch. And I'm going to pray something this morning that if you commit to that $25 a month for a year, I'm going to ask God to give it to you unexpectedly. It won't be in your salary. It's going to come in other avenues. And when you get it, now, if you get it all at one time, send it all, because it's seed for seed. Be a blessing. Do what you can. Do what the Holy Spirit tells you to do. Make sure you stop by his book table. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for Pastor David and Kim and for the ministry that you've given them. I thank you, Lord, for their friendship. For his iron sharpening iron. And we pray blessings upon him and the call that is upon their lives. And we ask you now, Lord, to give that we want to give that we don't have. Bring it in. And we'll be a blessing. Now, Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We trust you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bring your gift.